I think that it's probably not an understatement to say that Rosh Yeshiva Zichrono Livrocha was a very unique individual. Unique in his personality, but then again, everybody is unique in their personality. Shem Shem Partsufeim Deim Zoylezoy Kachin Deyoseim. So that's not the essence of one's uniqueness. But I think in his steadfast commitment and confidence and relentless passion to accomplish his goals and his approach to Chinuch and to Torah and Harbosas Torah, I think he was definitely unique in many, many ways. And I thought that maybe just mention a few of what I think are the most clearly distinctive approaches. Shitas, shitas is not the right word. And then maybe to try to see through the Haggadah the similarity in the approaches. Just to list, we know that one of the very unique insistence on the interactive blotchier. Many people in many tkufas thought they were wasting their time because it could be a discussion with one individual for the whole time, maybe half the time. Maybe it would go on for 2 days even, and it's like what about everybody else? Of course, the Rosh Yeshiva's answer was that I'll do the same for you, but it was this idea of not teaching, but reaching out. But as his father, I think, once put it, crawling into the mind of the Talmud to see how he sees things and attempting from within to straighten things out and clarify the issues. And that was like it's not shaykh in everything. That was in everything he did and everything in life, in learning, in Musar, and in Hashkofa, in everything was a discussion, everything was an argument, everything was a fight. The purpose was clarity and involvement, engagement, and making sure that I'm not just satisfying my need to teach or to preach, but rather I'm reaching the Matoro, which is to build a Talmud. I think that it goes without saying that part of what happened in this process was a steiging on the part of the Rosh Yeshiva that was probably beyond most of his generation. Let's just leave it as an understatement, because he had the benefit of this back and forth, the attack, in the process of creating this interactive environment with the purpose of benefiting the Talmidim. It came out that Bola Lamed V'nim Tzalomad Me Talmida Yosef Mikulam. It was literally Me Talmida Yosef Mikulam because of the constant challenge and the constant argument and the constant attempt. Sometimes attempt to attack, and other times attempt to understand in some strange ways, or sometimes in normal ways. But and the clarity that the Rosh Yeshiva benefited, the depth of growth, and was also a great benefit to him. I used to say sometimes when guys would be relentless in their attack, that I I taught you how to do this. I taught you how to think. Have rachmonis, you know, like, leave me alone. Like, what are you using it on me? And that was another, I think, a very, very significant aspect of the interaction that took place. I think that it related to that was that life and everyone's mission in life is always a work in progress. And to me, one of the most attractive things was about the Rosh Yeshiva as a Rebbe was that he too was a work in progress. You know, he didn't, not did he represent himself, nor did he think of himself, nor did he act in such a way as that, you know, Ich bin der Odom HaSholem, and now let's see what we can do for you. But it was always, everybody's working on themselves together. That's our mission in life. Musar was a, you know, major part of that effort of working on oneself, and he was very, very committed to the approach of Slabotka and to Chlal, the Limud HaMusar and Musar B'Espailus in general. Rabbi Itzel defines one of the criteria of his spilus is a tzir chushi, a picture, seeing a sensory picture, something that it's not just words and ideas, but something that can affect our senses and bring it to such a passion, to bring it to such a focus, to bring it to such a reality that it can truly affect our passions. And this was something that was, you know, there was a, you know, very, they say, I don't recall hearing it, but, you know, like, they don't say it about everybody, but they say that Shiva once said, or maybe said, that if someone is not ready to learn Musar, then he doesn't want him in the yeshiva. There's no hope. Without that Musar, it's not going to happen. And that was a very, very serious commitment and understanding that without Musar, it doesn't happen. It was a great emphasis on Midas, besides being such a stellar Balmidas, in terms of, you know, he could literally, if he thought he hurt someone, he could lose sleep, wouldn't sleep. You know, next morning he'd be, I couldn't sleep a whole night thinking, what about this? And how could I? And I said something, I may have offended him. Very, very sensitive and concerned for the, you know, the feelings. Binom Chavera always played a major role in so many decisions, and I think part of the lack of emphasis, I don't want to say the opposition to Frumkeit, because some people take that to mean that you shouldn't be religious. No, that wasn't what it was about, but the lack of emphasis on Frumkeit, because Frumkeit and Midas seem to have presented themselves in contradiction. The people that are so into Frumkeit, oftentimes it was at the expense of someone else, and Binon Chaveroi, and therefore, like, you gotta be careful not to get too caught up in that, because, you know, the Iker of Leinitno HaMitzvah Selelit Sarif Benes Habriyos, Chazal say, it's all about refining our character, and that's really the tachlis of everything. There was in learning, there was a tremendous emphasis on how the answer answers the question. Something that, you know, in the Welt, you know, I take it for granted. Ask a question, say, oh, that's the answer. And, oftentimes people don't stop to think as to, does it really answer the question? How does it really answer the question? How clearly, how accurately, how logically, how all-encompassingly does it answer the question? And that was a major, you know, for that technique alone, it person could really just working on that alone, I mean, need guidance and Rebbe and to straighten a person out, but could lead to a lot of accomplishment and learning, just stopping to think, to focus. She used to tell us a little bit of a different idea, but he used to say there was a tkufa in Raden where they were in between Rosh Yeshivas. They came to complain to the Chofetz Chaim that they needed a Rosh Yeshiva. The Chofetz Chaim, this is what his father told him, took two Sforim, and he put them like one just ever so slightly under the other one, and he says, all you have to do is, this is the Gemara's Habamina, and the difference, see the difference between the Habamina and the Maskona, and that's we, you know, what do you need a Rosh Yeshiva? I don't know whether that was a dichoy at the time, you know, or one aspect of it, but there was definitely the approach, the analytical approach, there was much that a person learned that he could even apply on his own. I think that the bottom line of everything was that a person is an Eved Hashem. It wasn't about being one thing or another thing. In fact, it's almost as if Harbotsa's Torah was so emphasized because under the circumstances and the times and all the other considerations, that this seems to be a calling that's relevant to many, many people. But through it all, we always used to hear, you know, like it's not about being a Rosh Yeshiva, it's about being an Eved Hashem. That was also a very, very often heard and concept that was often repeated. The Rosh Yeshiva was, I guess this came from, a lot of it came from Slabotka, you know, between the Alter and between his father and learning and Naftali and the Chofetz Chaim and the Cheder Rebbe in Varsha also. And that's besides the point. They learned a lot of Dikdukim from that. I mean, Reb Dovid's Cheder Rebbe. But anyway, but there was a very strong sense of one being true to himself. Of not mimicking, imitating, but about, I guess, genuinity. If a person wasn't genuinely holding by a certain level, then he shouldn't be on that level. He shouldn't be acting that way. And it doesn't, you know, the famous thing he always used to say about Rabban Gamliel said that he wasn't mechaber his father, a hundredth of Esav. Esav used to put on his big day malchus when he went to serve his father, and he didn't do it. So she asked the question, she says, well, why couldn't Rabban Gamliel couldn't put on his Shabbos Bekodim when he went to serve his father? Obviously, the pshat is that he wasn't holding by that. And it didn't mean that to him, and he didn't feel it. And had he stained it, soiled it in the process, he wouldn't have been able to wear it proudly and say, look, this I did in the service of my father. It might have bothered him. And he held he wasn't on that level. Therefore, to go through the actions and to do it, same thing, I think, the Alter says that, the Gemara says that there was an Amir who said that he didn't reach his father's level. His father waited 24 hours between meat and milk, and he only weighed 6. Ramayra couldn't wait 24 hours. Terence says he wasn't holding by that. But it comes in din, we all have to keep the halacha. It comes to a lefnim mishur sadin, if it isn't real, it's not. That was also a very serious consideration in everything that we do. And then, of course, there was. Well, let's leave it at that for now. I think when we look at the Haggadah, we push it, see that all of these ideas are very much a part of the whole tekis, the whole presentation of the Seder. It's really, in terms of interactive, that's what it is. I don't remember the Rosh Hashiva giving out nuts and candies and things like that in the Shir. Maybe give other kinds of rewards, but got to keep everybody up, got to keep everybody awake, got to keep everybody involved. I think sometimes his sense of humor helped with that, if he didn't give out, little goodies, but there was always a joke, there was always something. It was an enjoyable experience, and memela that keeps people awake and alert, and then it can be interactive. We know that the Seder is built, ki yesholcho bincho, is the yesod, the banishtana, is it? An inquisitive audience is an involved audience, is a captive audience, and it's an audience that you then can captivate and communicate with. And it's only in the process of this back and forth that there's real communication. And we go to great lengths to say there just to get people to ask. If you notice, some people don't pay attention to it, but it says, remove the Kaira from the table, put it back, and this and that. What's going on over here? What are we doing here? Yeah, that's it. We want you to ask what's going on over here. We want you to be concerned. We want your curiosity. We want to pique your interest, because then communication can begin. And then we have an opportunity, rather than to just stuffed shirt present and lecture, but to really reach the goal of what we're trying to accomplish in reaching whether it's our children or what. We pointed out the other night, and I think it's pretty much meduyik, not sure up to the standards that the Rosh Yeshiva would want in the Shmuz, but I think so, that the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvahs does not in any way indicate that the Iker Mitzvah of Sipuri and Siyas Mitzrayim is to tell the Ben. It's a mitzvah to be Mesaper, Mesaper, and all Nisim and the Flois and everything, and then the Halel. And he brings from the Posuk of Higadeto Lebincho, Yochum Rosh Chodesh, like the Haggadah says, the idea that it has to be Beleil Tesvav. So it seems that the Inyan of Sipuri Tzias Mitzrayim is to tell others and to tell the Ben, but all for the purpose of telling myself. And I think that concept of growing from teaching and growing from responding to others' questions and growing from giving and growing from articulating is something that really is seems to be the Iker Mitzvah Sayyim. And that was certainly something that was very, very much part of this system. The Rosh Yeshiva used to look at our Botzes Torah not only as the greatest mitzvah in terms of giving to others, but in terms of growth. And when he would be asked, what do you mean? If I'll go into those days, maybe, I don't know what, there was computers, I go into whatever else it might be, and I'll have more time to learn, and I'll retire early, and I'll be able to sit and learn. And ultimately, the answer was that from teaching, from giving over, from preparing for the shir, and from giving the shir, and not presenting the shir as much as defending it and interacting with the Talmidim, that's the greatest Steiging in that staka. I truly believe that was, where the Rosh Yeshiva himself, rose above his generation in terms of the depth that he achieved, because of the fact that he was constantly involved in that process of giving. One, the schus of giving, and two, the mitzius of the interaction, the chidud and the challenge and the attack and the defense and the whole process is something that, and that's really, it seems, what the message is in the Haggadah. Talk about Musar, you talk about Sir Hushi, there can be no greater indication from the Seder in terms of the importance of Tzir Chushi, what we do. Picture it. Tell a story. You know, tell a story. Okay, we were in Mitzrayim. No, the matzah, the moror, and the haseba, and the whole thing is one. Mamish Tzir Chushi chayabadim liras esatz mekilo yotzim in Mitzrayim. See clearly that Chazal understood that if we wish to deepen and deeply ingrain that message of emunah and recognition of the Ashgochas Hashem and all of the nisim that he did, then we have to not just talk about it, not just read about it, not just fleetingly think about it, but it has to be something that's we see it. I see it in front of my eyes. It's keilu what happened. It's to the extent liras esatz mekilo yotzim Mitzrayim. One could get so caught up, and maybe it has to do with the wine, the amount of wine you drink also, but you can get so caught up in the experience that, hey, was I there? I'm not sure. Yeah. Did I hear about it or was I there? I don't know. I'm not so sure. But that's really what, and that was what Musa was really, I mean, that's what it is, and that aspect is a very, very powerful indication of the need for that. Of course, the other thing is that I heard the story already. I know it from last year. I remember it, you know, like the little old lady that every year when they read about Yosef going down to his brothers and then they took him and then they sold him and so forth, and she gets very agitated, you know, and there's Rusnoshim up there, and she says, why didn't he remember from last year that what was going to happen, you know? Why did he go down again? To her, it was a reality. You know, we're reading about, it's happening. It just happened. It's you know, and this is the experience that we have to have. And the Seder has that ability to create it into a reality. As long as we're talking about that reality, I think there's an interesting diktuk to keep in mind. We talk about Chayev Odom Liras Esatz Mokilu Hoyotzim Yimitzrayim. It sounds very, very difficult. Ki'ilu Hu Yotzim Yimitzrayim. Like, okay, I know it happened. I picture that it happened. I could picture it vividly. I went through this experience. We mimicked it. We tried to relive it. You know, with Tzir Chushi, with props, with. But Chayev Odom Liras Esatz Mekilu Hoyotzim Yimitzrayim. And it occurred to me, there's even one girsa, but I don't think it's in our Haggadah. Shelo yasavaseinu bilvad goal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, elo af osonu goali mohim. So even from our Haggadah, it's mashma. Lo yasavaseinu, but what's the hemshich? Chayev Odom Liras Esatz Mekilu Hoyotzim Yimitzrayim. Lo yasavaseinu bilvad goal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, af osonu goali mohim. It sounds like there's a hemshich. And there are Haggadahs that say, Shelo yasavaseinu goal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the pshat is like this, that we might not be able to picture ourselves in that matzav, unless there was a reality to it. Goal, lo yisavuseinu goal. We really were nigal mimitzrayim, because if not, harayonu v'aneinu, we would have been slaves. The avdus remains forever. And when there was a geula to avodim, it's a geula to all the future doiris. So since lo yisavuseinu goal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, af yisonu goal imoim, even though we didn't go out, but since we were part of that geula in reality, it makes it a little bit easier. It becomes a reality that now Chayev Odom Liras Esatz Mekilu Hoyotzim Yimitzrayim. And without that, it could very well be that there wouldn't be such a chiyuv. And it occurred to me that's really this idea of genuinity. That it's not a game. It's not a joke. It's not like, oh, let's pretend. I'm going to pretend that I look at myself as though I went out of Mitzrayim. I'm going to pretend I'm on the Madrega of Esav and his Kibbutz Avaim. I'm going to pretend that I'm on the Madrega of my father who waited 24 hours and I only wait 6. It's not a pretense. Just so happened I got today an email. This is brought, there's two things here that are Mavel al Arayin. This is brought from Chidush Chasam Sofer. It says, Shomati mimerv Rabbi Bala Haflo, Behod de Pligi Rashbi v'Rabbi Yishmoel, Perek Ketzad Mevorchim. It's Machlokes from Shem Bayochoy and Rabbi Yishmoel in the Gemara in Brochus as to whether a person should do V'Asafta de Gonecho. Rabbi Shem Bayochoy says, Tera Matei Oleo. Elo, we should sit and learn, and the Rabbeinu Shalom will provide. That was Rabbi Shem Bayochoy's Shita. Rabbi Yishmoel said, that you have to also do a hishtadlus, and the Gemara says harbe osu kir Reb Shimon bar Yochai v'loy also biyodom. Many people did like Reb Shimon bar Yochai. They said, "I'm not going to work. I'll sit and I'll do nothing," and it didn't work for them. They weren't matzliach. So listen to what he says. He says harbe osu kirash bi v'loy also biyodom. Omar huzal. This is the Habal Aflo. She also kirash bi v'loy rash bi. They did like noch gemacht. They imitated Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. They weren't Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Devadai mi shekavonoso l'shem Hashem haboichei machshavoisav yodea eshtoi noisav bevadai yale biyodoi. One whose kavono is taka like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai with the bitochen that the Rabbeinu Shlomo will provide, because that seems to be a sedinian of bitochen. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta says that's the machloikas over there, bitochen with ishtadlos or without ishtadlos. He says avada Hashem will provide. There'll no such thing as lo yale biyodam. Elahim osu kirashpi nidmu loy veloy beetsem tochniusam. It wasn't them. They were mimicking. And it wasn't their essence. Al kelo also be odom. And that, I think, was such a yesod in terms of the Rosh Hashiva's hashkofa in Musar, that we can't. It's not mimicking. It's not acting. It's there. If it's a lifnim mishuras hadin, if we're entering a realm beyond the dalet chelke shulchan oruch, then it has to be real. And if I'm not holding by that, then it's not going to work. It's not going to be mashpia. Rabbi Gamliel could have done it, and the Amira could have done it, but it doesn't mean anything. And maybe, and that the Rosh Hashiva used to emphasize too, it has a very negative effect, because I start to think, me and Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, we're like this. I'm right there together with him. Oh, I'm like Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai. Oh, I'm like Rebbe. I'm like Esav Mela. Okay, but I'm like so. It's a very dangerous thing. And I think that may be the pshat in Chayev Odom Lira says Atzmo Kilo Yosem Yitzroyim Shelo Yasav L'Seinu Bilvad Goel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ela Afa Yisonu Goel Moim. If we weren't in fact the beneficiaries, the direct beneficiaries, we, the Geula, happened to us because of the fact that our great, 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 great ancestors were redeemed from Avdus Memela, that included all the future Deiris that were Nichlal in them. And if we didn't have that contact with the reality of Geula, then we wouldn't be able, and I dare say we wouldn't be mechuyev. Liris esatzmo kilu hu yotza mimitzrayim, because it's not real, it's a joke. But once there's a Geula, that, I mean, it's an amazing thing that the whole presentation and the whole reliving and the whole telling of the story and all the details and everything else and it can and the realization that we are the direct beneficiaries of the Geula, that can taka have that effect, that we can really feel that as if it actually happened to us. I think that was a very very important just not to belabor the point, but he brings a piece here from the Maral that it's Hevel's korban was not accepted. No, it was accepted, but Hevel was Lemaisa was killed, and she asked the Shaila, how could it be? He brought such a korban and so forth. So he says Hevel hevi gam hi. He says he saw Cain and he brought, and it wasn't him. Same thing. It was, and he even uses the word, he says it was Hevel. It was Hevel, not Hevel. It wasn't Hevel. It was Hevel, not real. And if it's not real, if it's not genuine, it has to be me. When I did, I guess there was no din. That was lifnim mishuras hadin. That was before the dinim. That was before matan Torah. If there's no din, when I do it, it isn't real. It isn't anything. It doesn't mean anything unless, in fact, it's me. It's what I am. It's genuine. I think that there's another lesson which I think is very, very important, which I saw brought from Chassan Sofer. And it was new to me, a chiddush to me, and I never felt, stupid. I never recognized that. V'hisha omda. And the kids have this beautiful thing they sing from somebody or other, you know, that really parallels the most sur, which goes through all the different kufas of how they attempted to destroy us. But he points out something here very interesting. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzilenu miyodom. Miyodom. What's miyodom? HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzilenu. Every generation they rise up against us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us. The Goyin says, Tzei olamad mi lovon, we see from lovon, that there is, it happens b'chol dor v'dor, and even when we don't know about it, and because lovon we didn't know. We didn't know lovon b'kesh lakras hakoil. So even when we don't know, l'maisa, this is what's happening. But the question is, Matzileinu Miyodam. So he points out, he says like this. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings us to the brink of annihilation. Because any place shorter than the brink of annihilation, we may not recognize that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's so easy to think, oh, look, we have an army, we have connections, we have Achis Yeshlonu Bebeis HaMelech, we got this, we whatever we have. Any, this teva, this, and yeah, there's a problem, but all right, problems resolve themselves. And many times in history, there have been threats to nations, and Matzileinu Miyodom. It's happened. It's from the clutches. Takes us out of the clutches of the enemy. He says, and that is really the only place that a person can truly recognize and appreciate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is active. I remember once I told this story, but when I came to the valley in the day school that we were connected with originally, so they had a bookkeeper there, nice woman, wasn't religious, but a very nice lady. And I put up a little sign in her office, a small little sign, she hung it on the wall, Yeshuas Hashem Keherifayin. That the Yeshua comes in the blink of an eye. And after a couple of months, she says to me, she says, you know, I understand that. I see it every month when they have to make a payroll. I see it. But I have a question. She says, why does he always have to blink at the last minute? Why can't he blink a little earlier? It keeps us till the last minute, that day. It's supposed. So I said to her, I said, the Pshat is like this, that if he were to blink earlier, we wouldn't realize he's blinking. We would think we have money, we have good parents, we have a good board, we have a good fundraiser, we have this, we have that. When he always blinks the last minute, when it's Matzileinu Miyodom, you can't miss it. I'd like to say that I saw so many instances where others blinked and the Rosh Yeshiva wasn't spoiled. Until, and Mamish, the last minute, said, no, thinking, what do you mean? But this, but that, the other thing, we got to do, so we got. Such a menuchas hanefesh, such a bitochon, such a sense of, you know, and sure enough, the last minute, HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzileinu miyodom. And it could be that he understood, I mean, Mestama, I'm sure he understood, that's really the only time that we truly, truly see with a depth of vision and conviction and insight the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because otherwise, it's so easy to rationalize. It's so easy to think. It's so easy to get confused. It's so easy to get caught up in the realities or apparent realities that are there. But when it's miyodom, out of the clutches of danger and of, and that's really the ultimate lesson that we have. But the truth of the matter is that this lesson we see is not a permanent lesson. We have to repeat it all the time. And this is really what Limud HaMusar is. I went through the Seder. I saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu Matzileinu Miyodom. I saw it happen in every generation. I saw it happen in our generation. I'll never forget the first Seder that I had with my Shver Zichron Levrocha, that he got carried away, I guess, right about over here, where he told the story of how he got out of Europe in 1940. Mamish, there were 10 miracles, Mamish Nisim, that happened to him. It was unbelievable how he traveled all across Europe to take a boat, I think, in Italy, and finally to get to Eretz Yisrael. And, and it's like, we see it. It's real. Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's not just history. We're able to relive the history. Maybe because we see it in our own lives, it helps us to relive the history. And we relive the history, and we were geula, and then we say chayav adam lirois, and we went through the whole thing. We presented it, and we pretended, and we acted, and we told it to our children. And what more could you ask for? And you know what we're told after that? Tomorrow morning, when you get up to daven on time, as Hashem, you have to be mazki tzias mitzrayim again. And the Tosefta says, with Makas Bechiris, Kriyas Yamsuf, again, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Makas Bechiris, Kriyas Yamsuf, and Kabbalah Samalchus Shemayim. Every day, and at night again. And then again. And next year I have to make another Seder. What do you mean? I know it. I got it. V'yodato hayoyim pashidoy selavavecho. To believe that the human being can exist without Musar is mamish a misunderstanding of the whole nature of humanity. The human being, if he was only a mind, an intellect, and he was on the darga of Reb Meir Simcha, Reb Meir Simcha said that until he was 80, he couldn't comprehend what it meant to forget. He didn't know if somebody said shikha, he didn't know what they were talking about. I mean, he must have heard there's such a thing, he must have learned about it, but he didn't know what it was. He couldn't taste it. He never tasted shikha. Didn't know what they were talking about, he says, until he was 80 years old. And even a Reb Meir Simcha is mechuyev in the Seder every year, and Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim by Yom of Alaylo, and Zochres Asher Zochres Hayom as Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is a Zechira Tmidis, to remember it all the time, because we're all human. And even the intellectual, it's something that we can forget. And we do forget. And we need to refocus. Alachas kama v'kama, when Yitzias Mitzrayim is the basis of our shibud, is our shibud, the shibud to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, avodim ayinu lefar Mitzrayim v'yitzienu Hashem elekeinu. Ah, shibud, responsibility, burden, obligations, chiyuvim. That needs constant reminding and reminding again and again and again and again. That's Musa. The whole Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim, with Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, with this Zechir Zikor Tmidis, with repeating it again next year. It's all the same thing, because that's what Musa is. If a person isn't going to learn Musa, if a person doesn't internalize again and re-internalize and review and re-deepen and it doesn't stick. It doesn't stick no matter who we are. It's something that we all need. I think that in terms of Midas, there's some very interesting lessons at the Seder, which reflect serious lessons in Midas. Here we are celebrating a Yetzias Mitzrayim. Here we are remembering the Avdus and the Chirus, remembering the Avodas Porach, remembering the extent to which Vayamoru es Chayim Avoda Kosher, and the screaming and yelling in pain, and es Hamoleinu Elo Habonim Kol Abein Hayilad Hayoyre Tashlichu. Remembering all this, then it comes finally. It begins at the end of 210 years. It'll begin to, the rays of light start to shine through. And there's Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Paroi, and it's time to go out, and we hear it, and we lechatchila, we were also skeptical, but then we accept it, and now he comes to Paroi, and Dom, Tzvardea, Kinim, Orev, there, Kivalt, finally it's happening, you know, and there is a revenge. In fact, the Rambam even says, the Loshon of the Rambam is that we should remember Tchilas Halaylo, Yaruch HaDvorim Bahagdolas Masha Osolono Hashem Masha Osu Imono Amitzrim May Oval Vachomus Eichlokach Hashem Nikmoseinu Mehem. How he took revenge on them, that's part of what we're supposed to remember. Uve Hoido Islo Yisborach, and thanking Hashem for his chasodim and so forth. And yet, we come to the Makkos, which is really like the vehicle that brought about the Geula. That's what softened Paro. He changed his mind back and forth. And this finally, and what are we doing? We're spilling the wine. Bin poilo yivcha al tismach. Don't rejoice in his downfall. What do you mean? We're saying Hallel. Took us out of Mitzrayim. Uve nikmas nikma uve uve ve'eich lokach Hashem nikmaseinu mehem. Yeah, lokach nikmaseinu is one thing. But lamaisa, can't rejoice in their downfall. They suffered. Dumb. They were drinking blood. Tzvardeya, imagine what it is to be surrounded in Yakishkis, everything in Tzvardeya, Kinim, Orif. A little bit. Something. A little bit. And it comes even to say Hallel. We can't, but the Yontif, Shri Shal Pesach, when we're remembering the Kriyas Yamsuf, Ma'ase Yodai Tovim Bayam, can't say the full Hallel. Have to abort some of it, abbreviate some of it, because there's a sensitivity there. I mean, this is the perfect balance of midas. This is really what our tafkid is in life. The same thing we see in the Dayenu. The Goyin says it's a famous thing. You know, as a Darshonim try to explain each one, this would have been enough without the other one, and this would have been enough without the other one, and we could have had this and there, whatever, and there are different pshotim. But the Goyin says, Poshet, Dayenu Lohidois, on every Hatova that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us, whatever, even if he never would have taken it to the fullest extent, but I did something for you. Also Be'elohayim. Took revenge on it. Didn't do anything to us yet. We didn't get out. We didn't go to our Sinai. We didn't get whatever it is. Every toifa that has to be dayenu lohidus, dayenu lohidus, and that's taka meduyak in the Haggadah, because at the end we say alachas kama v'kama toive chfula mechupelas lamokam aleinu. How much more so when he did all these things to us? But that sensitivity to be able to appreciate every hatova, whatever it may have been, and lefikoch anachnu chayovim lohidos, we're not just appreciating the toiva that happened to us, we're appreciating the toivas that happened to our avos. Even though it's chayev odom lirais es atzmoi, but to say shira, you really can't reach the highest levels of shira if it didn't happen to you. But I guess that it's not Shira, but it's some level of appreciation, but that we can have. Interesting, I think that's the pshat. The Achronim say, to be Mishana, the Nusach in the Haggadah, we say, Lohidus Lal Shabeach, Misha Osal Aviseinu Velonu Eskol Anisa Ba'elu, Etzion Riavdus Lecherus, and then it says, V'noimah Lefonam Shiro Chadosho. So, they say to change it to v'ne'emar in the past tense, not v'ne'emar, we will say. And I wonder if the pshat isn't because we can't really say shira on that. Shira is only ki gomol aleinu, or shira la'ashem ki gomol alai. So the achreinim change, and I think the Mishnah Berurah brings it, you should really say v'ne'emar lefonof, because it's they said shira. The ones that experienced it can say shira, that level of appreciation we can't reach. But so that means we didn't get there yet. We didn't get there to shira yet. The nisim he did to them. The geula happened to us. That's why in the bracha we say asher golonu the goles aviseinu. Say golonu first. But the mishosa aviseinu velonu is called nisim ve'ilu. And we're still mechuyev. That's what kind of akoras hatoiv that a person can and should and is supposed to have. Maybe one or two other things just to mention. I think that the Dalet Bonim has an additional significance. Everybody knows poshut that chinuch is to be individualized. It's not one size fits all. In fact, it seems it's one size fits none. Each one has his own nusach. But ultimately, what's the message? Bava zeos Hashem li b'tzeisi mimitzroyim, chayzik yod hotzionu mimitzroyim, v'gadol b'nchayom bava zeos Hashem li b'tzeisi mimitzroyim. It seems that, maybe a little bit gedarshent, but it seems that each individual requires an individual approach, but there's a common denominator. The common denominator is that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. The common denominator is that there's a shibud. The common denominator is that we are avdei Hashem. And not everybody can appreciate that the same way. Not everybody can express it the same way. But that's the unterste shura, that's the bottom line. The bottom line is that avdei Hashem. And it's like I mentioned before, I think that was really a very basic tenet of the Rosh Hashiva's approach, the chinuch, that, you know, everybody's different. Certain people will be able to serve in one capacity, others in another capacity. One who's cut out for this should not be doing that, and one who can do that shouldn't be doing this. And ultimately, there's one message. I'm an Eved Hashem. I'm an Eved Hashem, and I'm a chuyiv to do that which the Rabbeinu Shlalom wants. And what I do is just a matter of figuring out what is it that the Rabbeinu Shlalom wants from this particular Eved Pliny Ben Pliny. That idea that everybody is an individual and everyone has different capabilities, everyone has different nisyonos, and everyone has different challenges. And the idea is, the common denominator is that each one is an Eved Hashem, and an Eved Hashem is mechuyev to find that which is expected of him, from his calling in life. There's just one more thing, maybe. The Mishnah says that, Gamliel says, whoever didn't say kol advarim the shloish advarim ma'elu liyotzei dechavosoi. Some even say that dechavosoi even of korban pesach matzah moror. Most say that's chavosoi in the inyan of sipur yitzias mitzrayim. But in pesach, in matzah, it says. The matzah represents the speed of the geula. But then he finishes the pasuk. Okay, say you have to finish the pasuk. Once you start, you have to finish. But that seems to be part of the the what went on there. Very strange. Say the loss of what's that all about? We know that Chazal say, the Novi says, that the greatest shevach, or a great shevach of Klal Yisrael, was that they went out of Mitzrayim. They didn't say, we're leaving. What are we going to do? We're going into this midbar. It's dangerous. And how do we go out without lechem, mozen, without bread? We can't. What? And yet they followed Moshe Rabbeinu into the midbar. They followed Hashem. Lechtech acharai b'midbar be'eretz lo yizruo. And v'loyomru echnetzei l'midbar. And that's a shvach, a shevach to the Klal Yisrael that Novi says years later, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Koyamar Hashem, zocharti lo chesed ne'uraich. I remember that chesed that you did to me. I guess Hashem considers that a chesed to him, that we allowed him to perform all of the hatova for us. And chesed ne'uraich avas lo soich, the love of our initial union, and it seems that the basis for developing that love of Hashem, the Rambam says, is really recognizing Hashem's hashgocha. I'm sorry. The Rambam says there's a mitzvah to love Hashem, to love and to fear of Hashem. Says, how do you do the mitzvah? So he ties the two together, and he concludes that it's with love. He says, "B'shosh yisbein od b'maisav ruav hanifloi magdolim." He's look at what the bria is all about. The yira mehem chokhmos shein lo erech v'loy keitz. He sees the chokhmas Hashem. Miyadu oyev u'mishabeach u'mefoyer misavat tayv gedolo leida es Hashem. He sees all the chokhmas, wants to know Hashem. Like Dovid Amel says, "Tzom nafshi lelikim u'kshmechash b'dvorim elu." He realizes this godless, such greatness, such dula, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created such a world, and what am I? What's a man that you remember him? And he says, this is what leads a person leves Hashem. It seems that the recognition of Hashem's hashgoch in the context of his godless, he created the world. He created Shomayim Oretz. Look at the godless of the Bria, and look at the individual teepul. The Jew drinks from the cup, he's drinking water, and the Mitzri drinks blood at the same time, and so forth and so on throughout. When we see Hashem's Hashgocha in the context of his godless and Gvura, that's the greatest inspiration to a person to come to love Hashem. That's the Derech La'avosoi. And it seems that that's where the Klulois Avas Klulois Soich Mitzrayim was able to bring out that Avas Klulois Soich because of the fact that in Mitzrayim, they were able to see this hashgocha. The hashgochas Hashem is when a person sees hashgochas Hashem in the context of his greatness. In other words, why should he be metapel? Why should he be interested? He's interested. Okay, he has big cheshbonis, Klal Yisrael, take him out of Mitzrayim, created a world for a purpose. I understand, but me, I'm drinking water. Every individual, every detail of every individual's life. When a person sees that, that can't help but to inspire one to love Hashem. Yet, the Sifri says, Mahu ha'avo, the Rashi learns Pshat in the Sifri, V'avtus Hashem alekecho, that the person, V'hoyu ha'dvori mo'ele. That's the beginning. The Rambam calls that a Pesach le'oves Hashem. The Pesach is, I see the Ashkocho protis. The Seder can be that Pesach to see Ashkochas Hashem in the context of his greatness. But if a person really wants to know what it is to love Hashem, it has to be v'hoyu advorim o'ele asher anoichim et savcho hayoim al vovecho shemitoich kach ato makir. All of this hakorah of the hashgochas Hashem is just the beginning. The Pesach, he says, that's his loshon. He says, v'fi advorim o'ele ani mevayar klolim gedolim mimas v'ron olim kedei shiyu Pesach lemeivin leo es Hashem. Oh, but the real avo, mahu ho avo, once one learns the Torah and sees more and more the depths of the insights of the Beirei Olam, I think that to sum it up, if there's one thing that the Rosh Yeshiva gave over to his Talmidim, was if there's one word maybe to describe it, it was, and I shouldn't say what he gave over, but what he represented, and hopefully it was given over, and that's depth. Everything was depth. The infinite depth of the Torah, the depth of learning, the depth of Musa, the depth of thinking, the depth of sincerity, of integrity, of midas, of truth, of being what you truly are. It was all about depth. And really, that depth comes from the Torah, that the Hashgacha can inspire a tentative or a beginning of a process of love. But ultimately, it was through the Torah that a person reaches that ultimate, through the depth of the Torah, a person reaches that ultimate appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and enters into that bond of love. And I think that was a little bit some of the experiences that we were zeicha to have with in having been zeicha to have such a great Rebbe.